We are joined by the veteran newscaster who will hang up the microphone at the end of next week after more than 40 years at News Center Maine. Pat Callahan joins us. Hello there, Pat.
Well, wait, Rich, what have you heard? I mean, I knew my key fob stopped working at the front door, and that might have been a clue. But you're saying I'm out? That's it?
Oh, I'm sorry. Bill Green was supposed to tell you and give you the password.
Yeah, you could have been a bit more gentle about that. No, it's right. I appreciate your kind words. And yes, as of December 9th, I will be leaving News Center Maine with a somewhat heavy heart because I love everybody here and I love the vibe of the newsroom and the smart, funny people who are in here and working so hard. And that's hard to leave behind, but 43 years is a long time to do anything. And I realized long ago I don't want to be carried out of here by the handle.
Well, let's go back and talk a little bit about how it all began. First of all, how were you able to overcome the hardship of a UNH degree?
Well, it is remarkable that you would feel that way. I'll pick up the Bryce Cowell musket myself.
Ow. Thank you. All right. That's one for you, Mr. Callahan.
No, it was, I was working at, this is in, I started in 1978, right out of college, working in New Hampshire Public Television as a writer. They used to have a five-night-a-week newscast. And I started a part-time job just writing wire copy and other stories and got to tag along with some of the reporters who worked there and learn the ropes from them and realized, well, I like doing this. I think I can do it well. I can parlay this into something else. They let me do a few stories, some features, some sports stuff. It was actually the anchor at the end of my tenure was Paul Crane. You may be familiar with him. He's a sportscaster who's worked for CNN and many other organizations around the country. Terrific sportscaster, a great guy, and a good friend of mine to this day. Jack Edwards was in our group, the voice of the Bruins. And, so there were a lot of us in that group, though there is no journalism program, who ended up in broadcasting. Walt Perkins down at WBZ was one of them, too. So a lot of us came through there. In any case, I was looking for something that would be more full-time and cast my net around, and Portland, Maine looked like a pretty good place. Living in Portsmouth, I could watch WCSH, and I liked what they were doing. Fred Nutter liked what I was doing, too, but he said, the people upstairs, meaning the ones who make the decisions, think you need some more seasoning, which was correct. And they said, we're going to kick your tape up to our little baling wire operation in Bangor, WLBZ. It filled me with confidence, but hey, I needed a job. And it was a lucky break, an incredibly lucky break for me, because I walk into a newsroom that has people like, you may have heard of some of them, Don Kerrigan and Bill Green and Dale Duff and Russ Van Arsdale. And, I learned so much from all of those people, and they all became great friends of mine. And so it was a wonderful 3 years there. And then they decided I'd had enough seasoning, a little salt and pepper and to taste. And down they brought me to Portland, and where I've been ever since. And they haven't wised up to me yet.
Well, and we're glad of that. It's been a remarkable run there. And I've always been fascinated by how well WCSH has been able to maintain a veteran presence on the air. A lot of times smaller market stations, and obviously Portland, a much bigger market than Bangor, but oftentimes it's a training ground. People learn the ropes and move on. But boy, that core group of talented reporters that came up together and anchors who came up together in the 70s and 80s, most of you guys stayed together for the better part of what, three plus decades?
Right. We had, when I started doing weeknight anchoring, 6 and 11 o'clock news in the summer of 1989. I was partnered with Jan Fox. She left several months later to move to Washington. She and her fiance at the time and now husband. And she wanted to, he was moving to Washington. She got a job with, I think it was WUSA, the other Gannett station there. Anyway, but then Cindy Williams started in January of 1990 on the anchor desk with me. We, along with Bruce Glazier and Joe Cupo, were the front four anchor team at 6 o'clock for 22 years. And we haven't been able to find any, front four like that could boast the same thing. Cindy just retired last year, so we've been together 32 years anchoring together. And, honestly, it's that's one of the reasons it's hard to let go now, because you're just so programmed to be here working with these people that you're in sync with. And, you know, Cindy and I hit it off pretty quickly and developed a pretty good chemistry. And who wouldn't love working with Bruce Glaser back in those days? And, you know, it was never a dull moment. And Kupo as well, you know, he was somehow never not lost the Long Island accent, and yet Maynard still embraced him. So that shows how welcoming they can be to people from away, like myself.
And, you know, the behind-the-scenes folks were there, too, and very much a part of it, and they had some longevity. God, I worked with Steve Sherburn when I was at Channel 2 back 30, however many years ago.
Gosh, that's right. Yeah, Steve Sherburn's our chief photographer and an incredibly talented guy, incredibly nice guy. His wife, Julie, used to be a director at AGM and then at Channel 13, and she directs with us now for the last, it's got to be 15 years anyway. You're right, and some of our directors, Bill Taylor and Jeff Howard and Andrea Ronning, have been here ever since I started, before I got here, and they're still plugging away. And Ron Cormier is our producer at 6 o'clock and leads the production crew. And those are people that I trust. It's one of the reasons, if I'm any good at this, it's because they're there to support me and make sure I don't make a complete fool of myself. And that's invaluable. And so who wouldn't want to stay? And the other part of that is, who wouldn't want to raise their family in Maine once you get a taste of it?
Now, when did the spark hit for you? Was it college or was it younger when you thought that you wanted to either be involved in broadcasting or just in covering the news?
Yeah, well, it was probably pretty young. I think really what I really wanted was to be a DJ at WRKO or one of those stations. You know, that was the stuff I listened to. But my dad was in the business, and he'd done radio for years and television in Boston. Been a sportscaster, booth announcer, news reporter, all the things that you do in that line of work. And he seemed to be having a pretty good time. So I was interested in that. Plus, it was a place, partly because of the work he did and partly because of the way my parents were, we read several newspapers a day in our house. You know, we'd get the Boston Globe delivered and the Framingham News, and then my dad would bring home the Record American or the Herald. And, you know, so you start perusing all these papers. We watch TV newscasts sometimes because he was on them. But, you know, that gets into your psyche, and you realize that's a pretty good way to make a living, I think. That professional part of it didn't really hit me, I think, till I was in college when I said, you know, this is something I could probably do if I apply myself to it.
We're talking with Pat Callahan here on Downtown. Well, for my money, Pat, and I don't just say it because you're here, you're as fine a political reporter as we've ever seen in the state in my 60-plus years of watching television and paying pretty close attention. What is it about that political beat that's always interested you?
Well, again, just even as a kid, I was interested. In 1968, we had an American government teacher, who I was in seventh grade, and she assigned us a unit on the presidential election and said, I want each of you to, I'm going to assign a candidate to you, a presidential candidate, and you have to write a speech for them and convince people that they should vote for you. And so the one I got, this was when it was Richard Nixon versus Hubert Humphrey and George Wallace, the very controversial governor of Alabama. And so that's the one I was assigned. Now, remember, we're living in, you know, a fairly liberal place in Massachusetts, and now I've got to find something good to say about George Wallace. It meant I had to research his background and find out things you might want to sell to the voters. And it was kind of an eye-opening process, and I think a very useful exercise for anybody, you know, to put yourself in the shoes of someone who you might not naturally agree with, but what would you say if you were running for an office and you had their background? So that was a big part of it, too. And I just probably to bug my parents, I had a Nixon poster in my bedroom that I got from the local Republican Party headquarters. There was a neighbor who lived a couple houses away was a judge, and he was running for reelection. And he took me out with him to go canvassing door to door. And it was fun to watch how that worked. And he brought me down to the headquarters, and I came home with this big, giant color photo of Richard Nixon. And I wish I still had it.
Well, you covered so many memorable figures and some of the most important figures in Maine political history. For years, I think I still have the videotape, too. For years, I would use a videotape of a wonderful special you did on Ed Muskie, and I would use that in my Maine studies classes forever and ever. But Ed Muskie, Margaret Chase Smith, Bill Cohen, George Mitchell, so many that you covered through the years. Was there one that stood out to you that you were just genuinely impressed with, not only as a politician, but as a person?
Well, honestly, you know, all of them, but I worked more closely with Bill Cohen and George Mitchell out of that group, and Olympia Snow, and now Susan Collins and Angus King. They're all thoroughly decent people who want to do the right thing. They're there. They go to Washington not just to get attention and throw bombs. They're there to try to accomplish things. And you can disagree about policy, but they were always doing the best they could for Maine and New England and for the whole country. And so I have a special respect and admiration and fondness for George Mitchell just because of the kind of person he was, the position that he rose to from very humble beginnings in Waterville to not only become the most powerful Democrat in Washington as the Senate Majority Leader, but then to become a peace negotiator working on a problem that had existed not just for decades, but for centuries, and having the patience and the wisdom to try to sort that stuff out. Every time you talk to George Mitchell, you learn something. And so I've always enjoyed the time I spent with him. And but all of those people you mentioned, I like to think they you know, we have a mutual respect. They know that I'm going to do the job fairly and with some understanding of what they do. And you know, I think they appreciated that, just as I thought how lucky Maine has been to have politicians of that quality representing us in Washington.
Along those same lines, I want to ask you how you feel about the way the business has changed, not so much on the local level, where I think all of our local stations and local reporters do their best to be, well, to use a hackneyed phrase, fair and balanced, but as the national landscape has changed, and as we've seen news outlets on both sides of the political spectrum that at the very least skew things a certain way. Does that bother you as somebody who has worked so hard for more than four decades to walk right down the middle?
Well, I think that, you know, cable news changed a lot of things because they got 24 hours a day to fill. They do a lot of opinion stuff so that you get the sense the opinion shows where you have commentators on represent the news as well. Even Fox News, as right-wing as they are, they also have some straight-down-the-middle news reporters. But what you remember from them is the commentators, the Tucker Carlsons of the world and so forth, and that's a whole different beast. But, you know, while I think local news fares better in most people's eyes than national does because they kind of know us and they can hold you accountable if they think you've got something wrong, and they do. They always reach out, as they should. But it's also a troubling trend. In one of the surveys that was done, by the UNH Survey Center, in fact, during this most recent campaign, they asked people who were supporting Paul LePage and Janet Mills, not only who they support, but getting demographic background. And one of the questions was media consumption. And they asked, do you watch Fox News? Do you watch MSNBC? Do you watch local TV news? Of the Janet Mills supporters, the Democrats, about 65% said, yes, they do watch TV, local TV. Of the LePage supporters, only 20% said so. And of Bruce Poliquin supporters, only 15%. Now, that's troubling, and that's a failure perhaps on our part for not finding more ways to reach people who think all we have is a liberal agenda, which really is not so. There is no corporate agenda. There are people in this newsroom with all kinds of political views, but you check those at the door, and then you tell the story as straight as you can. Sometimes you succeed better than others. But that number is pretty chilling in that where are people getting their information? And is it information you can trust?
Well, I know that a lot of times people will ask someone who's retiring, what will you do? But you are a busy guy, and one of the things I've always enjoyed about talking with you is you have so many interests beyond what you do professionally, and music is a big part of them. So I'm sure you've got some concerts lined up that you hope to see, but you're going to do some traveling. What can we expect of Pat Callahan away from News Center?
Yeah, all of that. And, you know, I don't know that there may be a public role at some point. It's possible I might end up filling in here sometimes when they need someone. I'd certainly be open to that, but you know, really, I want to take some time and not live on deadline. Because, again, doing this for as long as I have, it can get to be a little bit of a grind. The process can. Again, the work itself is great. And as I mentioned before, I just love the people I work with. And I'm going to miss that terribly. But they're still going to be around. And I can see them socially. And it won't be quite the same as, you know, what it's like in a newsroom, you know, the joking that goes on. And you got to have that because sometimes the news is so grim and serious. You've got to have people who can you know, keep their wits about them and not get too wrapped up in the sad stuff. So, I don't think I'll have any trouble staying busy. But if you hear someone who needs, I'll read for money. I'll read news for money.
I hear
anything for money.
I hear that as a growing concern. A lot of people looking for that these days. So
yeah,
that's fantastic. Well, Pat, I'm such a fan of your work. I have great respect for you. I think you epitomize what a broadcast journalist should be. You've been a great role model for so many people along the way. And it's a pretty good mark of a successful career when there's no one I know in the business that has anything negative to say about you. And I think it's the same for the people who watch as well. So congratulations on a wonderful run. And I hope we can maybe check in with you, even in those quiet days of retirement.
Yeah, absolutely. I've always enjoyed being on your program, and I'll have a little more free time, so we can talk about our favorite records and all you want.
That sounds great, Pat. Thank you so much for being with us.
I
will do that, absolutely. Thanks, Pat. Pat Callahan, News Center Maine. 19 minutes after 4 o'clock, your last chance to see Pat next Friday night as he signs off from News Center on December 9th.